Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. I'm a little hoarse, man. I was getting after it last night at the Padres game. I think a lot of Padres fans were pretty fired up and hyped up for last night's win. Come from behind, 8-6 victory over the Miami Marlins. Man, it was a good one. Good one to be at for sure. I'm Woodsy. That is Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, filling in for Paul Reindel, who is in Las Vegas for his anniversary trip with his wife, Megan. Looks like they're having a great time. I've only seen one picture. But he was supposed to have the Emeril Lagasse burger.
No, yes, Gordon Ramsay burger.
The Gordon, I can't do anything right now, I'll tell you that. Ben Higgins joins us as well, friendly neighborhood sports anchor. I'm off, just off a little bit.
Well, I mean, you stayed up late last night. Yeah, you stayed through the eighth inning, didn't get home until after, 10 o'clock, which is late for you. You're normally early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah.
Makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise.
So I'm neither healthy, wealthy, or wise. So what is my excuse?
I'm impressed, though, that you are as vocal as you are at the games, enough to be hoarse this morning.
Yeah.
I will admit, I cheer when I go as a fan Padres games, but, I'm more of a clap, and, maybe it's a quick, yeah, but it's not.
Yeah,
but I'm not. When they scoreboard flashes, make noise. Huzzah!
There you go, Frankie.
Well done. I'm not the constant screamer throughout the game.
What would get you to go? Yeah, is that really what you say? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Really?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
A ride.
All right. All right. Way to go.
Way to go.
Way to go.
This is, what year are we in? You don't do this. I don't know if I can be on a show with you
anymore.
What
do you yell? What do you yell at the baseball game?
Yeah, let's go.
I just can't do that.
Something like that.
It's too enthusiastic.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
You said all right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
Yes.
Yes. Do you make noise when the scoreboard tells you to make noise?
I clap.
You clap.
When they did the make noise, everybody makes it.
Well, that,
I do that bit. Fine.
Everyone's
got to
do that one.
I do that.
But they try to pick, specific moments, yeah. I think, when they feel like the extra noise could impact the game. Like, hey, rattle the other team, make some noise.
I did yell, holy sheets. That's our new chant. Like, we had Ha-Sun Kim, and everybody would yell Ha-Sun Kim, so I would do that. Now I do, holy sheets, holy sheets. And then everyone cheered for Manny. Of course, I did that one. But I was giving it the ump a little bit with Quinn Wolcott. Not as bad as I should, but enough to embarrass my wife, which is kind of the goal.
Did you feel like you had a good enough view to...
It was perfect.
He was kind of screening you, though.
No, but I could see it.
On home plate, you
could tell. I could see it.
Because there were a couple of calls, especially that went against Stephen Kolek. One in particular. It was a strike, and the guy swung.
Yeah, and he swung.
And somehow both umpires missed it.
Tyler got me. He said, I watched Woods throw his head back so many times after blown calls. That's me, like this. Oh. And I also do the, if it's a borderline pitch, I do the head to, like the kind of the, I don't know, the head turn, like half turn, like, I don't know about that one. But yeah, I was hoarse, man.
Now, I don't mind, you know, standing up and, you know, cheering. Yeah. I'll get out of my seat and, you know, clap. But I'm not a constant yeller throughout the game.
My wife's biggest ovation last night was not for who you may think. She's moved on.
From Jake.
Yeah, she's a Sean Reynolds gal now.
Really?
Boy, when he came out of the bullpen, she lost her mind. Lost
Sean Reynolds images.
Her mind. Right. I mean, he's a tall drink of water. Very tall.
Very tall.
Strappings. Cool. Cool as hell.
A bit of a smoky look.
He's smoky. Kinda,
well, I mean, the pictures that he's taken, like his professional team shots, he kind of gives you a hard stare. He's not kind of the, you know,
right.
Say cheese kind of guy when he's taking any of these pictures. In fact, there's one where he's smiling. That's about it, though.
Yeah, Lisa says she likes a big boy. She does. She does. She married a big boy. Now, I'm not anywhere near as big as Sean Reynolds, but yeah, she's a big Sean Reynolds gal now.
A lot of light-colored hair. You're not a light-colored hair guy.
And she really normally doesn't like, I mean, she liked Crony.
Yeah. And then, Reynolds has fairly light-colored hair as well.
But, yeah, maybe she does like the big boy. The fireballer. Throw about 60, 69 miles an hour now on a good day. He was pumping it up there last night pretty good. Velo is a little down for Sean Reynolds this year in comparison to last, but still looks pretty good. Imposing guy on the mound.
I don't want to disappoint Hannah, but there's a chance that Sean Reynolds will be sent down to AAA today.
Is that going
to
be the move?
Well, they have to make the move to bring Kyle Hart onto the roster again, which means someone from the pitching staff has to go down.
And that would be a bummer.
While no one is, I don't think anyone's hurt, which means it's probably someone who's unavailable today because they need someone out of the bullpen. Don't think it's going to be Yuki Matsui.
It's not going to be.
And it's not going to be Jeremiah Estrada.
David Morgan?
It could be David Morgan.
But I kind of like to see him.
He looked good a couple days ago, and he's fresh because he didn't pitch yesterday, which could mean Sean Reynolds, through no fault of his own, draws the short end of the straw on a flight to El Paso, trade places with Kyle Hart. I'm not, you know, nothing reported there, just kind of putting two and two together as a potential move they could make this morning.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's going to figure into this bullpen.
It could be Cruz going back.
Yeah,
he's up as well, but they didn't use him, so he'd be available for long relief as well.
They really don't use him a lot.
I think you have to be prepared.
You have to be prepared. You need somebody in length.
In case Kyle Hart, you know, he's not effective, and you have to go to the bullpen early. And if you had Cruz and Morgan both rested and ready to come out and eat, you know, three or four innings combined.
Yep.
You couldn't ask Sean Reynolds to do that. How many pitches did Sean Reynolds throw yesterday? Let's see.
He was what, inning in the third?
Yeah, I mean, it's more about the number of pitches than necessarily the number of outs. I mean, if you get him quickly, he only threw 12 pitches, inning in the third. Pretty efficient.
Yep.
So maybe he stays and Morgan or Cruz goes back. I don't know. We'll see. I would imagine by the end of the show, they've got to kind of start getting the lineup out and perhaps announce the move that they make since got the early start today at 1:10 with the 12:10 pregame show. But we'll see what they decide to do. But they do have to add Kyle Hart to the roster at some point this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Rory on Twitter says, I bet Reynolds isn't pressing 225, though. And I bet he is. I bet he can bench press 225. I hit my goal yesterday, finally, after 5 months of trying. I had one goal, and I just wanted to bench press 225 once in my life, and I did it. Did it yesterday, and it was not that hard. Not that hard at all. I'd been working towards it. But my problem was I tweeted, man, I got four plates today. And I was reminded instantly, that's not four plates. And I said, well, what do you mean? They call that two plates. Did you know that? What would you have guessed? You know,
I would have said four.
225 is 245s on each side. How many plates did I just put on the bar?
Four.
Correct.
How many did your trainer put on the bar?
He put on four.
You didn't do it yourself.
No, absolutely not.
You saved all of your energy to actually lift them. How many times did you lift it?
Once. Yeah. That's all. I mean, that was trying my one rep max.
The one rep max, yeah. Now, if you were doing, like a set.
Yeah.
Like two or three sets of 10, what would the weight be on those?
Well, it's funny because it used to be like 135, but now I can rep. No, this is boring for everyone. I can reps at like 185, which is much better.
That's impressive. Yeah.
But I'd always wanted to do 225. It's that magical, it's the combine weight that those guys get on there. They're like clang, 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 clang. Hey, you did it 46 times. You're like, oh my God. I just wanted to be able to do it once. I wanted to be able to do it one time.
So on the scouting report, combine scouting report for Stephen Woods, reps
one
on the bench press at 225, Stephen Woods gets a
one. That's right. Got it up once. I was so excited when it was over because I was so stressed out about it because I'd been gradually moving up and I'm like, I'm not going to get it. And I was like, no, get your head right. You can do this. And surprisingly, I got up once and he goes, I almost told you to go for another one. I go, I could have gotten it. I absolutely could have gotten another one. So I felt pretty happy about that yesterday. And then I tweeted it and they're like, nah, dummy, that's not four plates. That's two plates. Like, but there's four on there. Make it make sense to me.
I mean, if you only had one plate, it would be extremely lopsided.
Yes.
You couldn't. Yeah. You'd kind of be on tipping one way or the other. So
why do they call it two and not four?
It's because it's on the one side. You only have two plates.
Yeah, but
plates.
You don't lift one side.
What if you have...
No, I know that, but it's... Of course, you have to equal it out, but it's two plates on the one side of the bar, so that's how you...
What do they call it?
You count how many... You don't count the total. You count how many's on one end of the bar.
Why do they do that?
That's because it's asking. Because it's kind of a given that it's the other side's going to be the same, unless you're a psycho.
If you give me four plates of pizza... You didn't give me two plates of pizza. No. You gave me four. I'm not. Oh, this is on the right side of the table. That's how many. If you give me four plates of pizza,
so
I have four.
Each plate is 45,
and the bar is 45.
So 90 plus 90 is 180 plus 45 is 225. Now, what happens when you have like a 45 plate, but then a smaller plate? Because you got to go in between. You can't just jump straight from one plate to two plates.
I went 185, 205,
so they put like the 20s or the smaller ones. What do you say, 1.5 plates? Or
I don't know.
How do you say it when you're in between the plates?
So my buddy DM me, he goes, hey, it's kind of a bummer to realize the next big milestone is like 405.
You'll never get there.
No, I won't even try.
So are you done? You've accomplished your goal, and now you no longer have to work out anymore.
I want 250.
Okay, so you set new goals. That's good. You always have to, you know, set the bar
bar, but only half of the bar, because that's all that counts.
Right.
Don't set the... When they say set the bar high, what they mean is set half of the bar high, because that's all that they count, is half of a bar.
Now, do you do this early in the workout, before you've burned yourself out?
Yeah. And then,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did a bunch of stuff before it, but it wasn't upper body. But I was very proud to get it up. Felt good to get it up.
Are we just not doing phrasing anymore?
No,
okay.
I do all kinds of interesting phrasing. Two people helping spot each puts on two plates. I don't get it. Three plates is 315. Is that right?
Yeah, another 90.
Another 90.
That would be three
That
plates.
Would be a bit ambitious.
315.
315 will never happen. That's never going to happen. And I don't even think you can count anything until you put an X. They don't count like, oh, I put in a 2.5 pound and I got 230. I don't think they count those. But that was good, man. Felt pretty good to do that. And it's nice to set a goal and accomplish it. And I was very, very happy about it yesterday. But, of course, I blew it. On Twitter, but that happens.
I wouldn't have known. I would have said four plates because that's a total of four plates.
Correct.
All right. You can set a goal to try to win another game of Take on Woods. You had a tie yesterday, so chance for you to qualify out there for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas. In our next segment, we will play our musical trivia challenge. If you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. What happened?
Pooch says, just one rep? Yeah, it's a one rep max. That's what I was trying to do.
It's a personal max.
I hate it here.
I mean, when you watch those
one rep?
Those bodybuilding.
Bro, I'm 49 years old. I was maxing out at like 135. I'm very happy.
On the weightlifting competition, they just got to get it up once, and that's their score. Like, whatever the heaviest you can possibly lift one time. They're not. I mean, I'm sure there are competitions where reps are involved, but you're going for your one max. And putting as much weight as possible on it.
That's right. And I could have gotten more. I could have gotten another one.
Next time.
Next time. Very sore. Very sore. I got to go back today.
All right, 833-288-0973. You want to play a little Take on Woods? We'll get to that coming up in our next segment. Just a reminder, Friday is our manager's report with Mike Schilt.
Good boy.
They win today, they will carry a four-game winning streak into that manager's report because there's no game tomorrow. So you can tune in Friday morning at 9 a.m. here on Ben and Woods. The manager's report is refreshed by Eco Water SoCal. Try alkaline water for just $9.95 a month. Eco Water SoCal, keeping it soft since 1925.
See, I was keeping it soft since 1975, and now I'm trying to get it hard.
Not your water.
By lifting. Right.
Phrasing.
Right. Phrasing.
Phrasing. All right, we will take a quick time out. We'll come back with Take on Woods. I see some callers calling in. Get to our game coming up next after traffic on 97.3 The Fan. But it's a sign, to me at least, that even though players will tell you they don't pay attention to fans and social media and what they're saying, hey, we're just trying to win every game. Don't, you know, outside noise does not permeate this clubhouse. At least some of them are watching you out there. And I'm talking about Padres Twitter in particular. They hear you. And they have permeated. You have permeated into some of their brains.
How so?
I'll hold it on the tees. We'll get to it. We got Take on Woods coming up, though. I got a bunch of contestants on the line ready to play our game.
So titillated.
And we'll get to that after we play our game of Take on Woods right now.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarm. Security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. And we got a ton of callers, but it is our friend Roger who got in first with Frank. Roger, just in time at the end of May to try to get your name in for our grand prize drawing. How have you been?
I am good. Good morning from Nashville, Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee. All right. Enjoy some country music. Maybe it'll be a country music category for you today. Actually, it's not. Here are your choices for your categories. Well, first, let me tell you what the prize is and remind everybody what you're playing for. If you can beat or tie Woods, you will qualify for the grand prize trip to Las Vegas. Tickets to see Bruno Mars at Dolby Live at the Park MGM on September 3rd. Two-night stay at the Park MGM and a $100 gift card. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. All right, the categories are Luck O' the Irish, five song titles, artists with an O apostrophe in the name. When Is Now, all two-second songs beginning with When. And Talking to the Divine, these are five song titles with the word prayer in their title. So Luck O' the Irish, When Is Now, or Talking to the Divine. Roger?
Let's go Luck O' the Irish.
Luck O' the Irish. Thank you. This one's been
sitting there. Oh, and I'm sorry. Give Woods the category.
I will let Woods know. Yeah, Roger likes to play straight up. So today's category features five song titles or artists that all have the very Irish O apostrophe somewhere in their name. You'll have 60 seconds. Answer as many as you can. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question that Frankie is queuing up is our two-second song. You need to give me both the song title and the artist to score the point. Roger, are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
All right, Frankie, you good to go?
No, because YouTube ads and ad blockers don't work.
All right, just give him a second to call up the... Paulie does it a different way. You can do whatever is comfortable with you, Frankie. But we need to get the two-second song queued up. All right, he says he's good to go. All right, 60 seconds on the clock, Roger. The category is Luck O' the Irish. Your time begins when Frank plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Baba O'Reilly, The Who.
Correct. Which Irish artist sparked a controversy in 1992 when she tore up a picture?
Sinead O'Connor.
Correct. A warm-up exercise for guitarist Slash became the basis for which Guns N' Roses
Sweet
song?
Sweet Child O' Mine.
Correct. Which 1970s R&B group found success with For the Love of Money, Love Train?
The OJs.
Correct. The O was replaced by a peace sign on the cover of which 1980s...
Sign of the Times.
Wow. That was a... He destroyed that. I didn't even get to read all the questions. All right, Roger, you got in, and you certainly earned it at the end of the month. Now it just comes down to whether Woods can match all of those answers that you gave. Baba O'Reilly, Sinead O'Connor, Sweet Child O' Mine. He's coming in. I won't give any more answers. All right, Roger's score is locked in. He likes to play straight up, as you know.
I love Roger for that, too.
So the category today is Luck of the Irish.
Luck of the Irish.
All song titles and artists with an O apostrophe in their name.
Okay.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock. Frank, you ready? Your time begins when Frank plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Roger.
That's Baba O'Reilly by The Who.
Correct. Which Irish artist sparked a controversy in 1992 when she tore up a picture of the
Sinead
Pope?
Sinead O'Connor.
Correct. A warm-up exercise for guitarist Slash became the basis.
Sweet Child O' Mine.
Correct. Which 1970s R&B group found success with For the Love of Money, Love Train, and other hits?
The OJs.
Correct. The O was replaced by a peace sign on the cover of which 1987 Prince album?
Sign O the Times.
Oh, you both nailed that. 5-5. An absolute masterpiece of a performance by both Roger and Woods today, as Roger qualifies, but you both played very well.
Feel good.
On that category, sign or Luck O' the Irish.
Weightlifters would tell me I got 5 right, but actually it's only
10,
3.
Three?
No,
it's 2.5.
2.5. Yeah, that's how that goes.
All right, Roger, Frank will get your info, probably already in our system. You're in, though, for the drawing now at the end of May. Congratulations to you.
We're coming up on that date.
And if you're not a musically inclined contestant, we'll have a game of Real or Fake tomorrow to get you a chance to qualify for the grand prize trip to Las Vegas as well.
Got Kluger in tomorrow. He has already promised me, Adam Kluger, our boss, he's going to be filling in for Paulie. Well, he's going to be filling in for Frank, who's filling in for Paulie. And he's promised me, I promise I'll be very chipper. Not going to sit
engaging,
over. Engaging,
hiding
not hiding with his hoodie, yeah. Looking up, you know, Atlanta Falcons offseason offensive installations or whatever it is that he does over there. So he said he's going to be chipper, so we're going to hold him to it.
All right. Well, we'll miss Frankie tomorrow.
I will miss you, Frankie.
It's been a good couple of days.
You've been great, buddy.
All right. We'll come back. How do I know that the Padres are paying attention to you out there, Padres fans on social media? I will tell you. When we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3, The Fan. For the most part, when it comes to dealing with fans and, you know, what the fans think, they mostly say the same thing. Don't really pay attention to the outside noise, you know, just focusing on the next game, getting my job done. Doesn't matter what people are saying out there. It only matters what, you know, my teammates think, what my coaches think, you know, we keep it in there. That's probably a fairly healthy attitude.
Minus the fairly. It's the only way.
If you get too caught up in what the fans are saying, it's probably going to hurt your mental health, and you're never going to please everybody, so don't even try. However, I've always suspected that it's easier said than done, ignoring the outside noise. And I saw a quote in Kevin Acey's newsletter this morning about the Padres that at least made me suspect that some players are actually more attuned to what fans are saying than they will admit. And this came on a discussion of the Padres offense all gelling together and contributing top to bottom last night in their 8-run comeback to beat the Miami Marlins 8-6. And this was a quote specifically from Jackson Merrill. Now, I don't know where he necessarily got this phrasing, but I've seen this phrasing often in Padres social media posts. Last night's rally, you saw, quote, Jackson says, you saw a lot of power of friendship in that game. It wasn't just one or two big hits that got us back in it. There was consistently singles, taking advantage of mistakes, exposable moments. Power of friendship is something certainly not exclusive to Padres social media and Twitter, but it's something I've seen a lot. People talking about it. Our friend Tom Giannis on Twitter often calls
power of friendship
a 4 or 5-run inning with a lot of singles a power of friendship inning. And I haven't seen that a lot of other places. Players will usually say, oh, we kept the line moving.
Yep.
We passed the baton.
Next man up. Yep.
We moved it along. I've never heard a player refer to it before as a power of friendship inning until I saw that quote this morning from Jackson Merrill.
There's been a couple of things recently, and you know, we've talked to Schilty about it before. He doesn't do social media, but there's a couple of little inferences where he's like, you know, listen, many people may think that, you know, our offense isn't built a certain way. This is you saw it last night. He said it in his postgame last night, talking about, yeah, a lot of people, you know, want us to do this, but this is the better version of the Padres. And yeah, I think that it, I don't know how it creeps in, but it creeps in somehow. Merrill's a young kid. Wouldn't surprise me at all to find out he has a burner account and it looks for his name and his highlights after a game. It really wouldn't.
Definitely like, a younger thing as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'd be more expecting it from a 22-year-old as opposed to from, you know, Manny Machado.
Yeah, he doesn't care what you say. Trust me. Like that, he could not care less what you think about him. And doesn't actively go searching out for it. Would probably drive him nuts if he did. And I think that would be the case. And of course, you know, there's those athletes that they do it and they respond and it stands out when they do, you know, when Saquon Barkley responds or when Kevin Durant is the most notorious, you see it and you're like, yikes, not a good look. They're humans too. And words hurt them. Words bother them. They get under their skin, which is, you know, it happens to me. It happens to all of us.
There are a few that I have covered that seem to be able to balance media, fans, and still performing on the field at the same time. But it takes a really good head on your shoulders.
Brent Rooker's really good at it. Vinny Pasquantino's pretty good at it for the Royals. There's some guys that are pretty good. Like, if I'm Mookie Betts
yesterday. Blake Snow was a little up and down. Like,
yeah.
He kind of did it well at times, you know, but then other times maybe it got to him a little bit mentally. I'm not sure.
Like, if I was Mookie Betts and I saw the discourse going around Dodger Twitter, which I saw yesterday, I mean, they were cannibalizing each other over again. Mookie Betts, one of the best players of his generation, period.
And least controversial.
Really,
well accepted to be a really good guy.
The guy that, like, he's a, what, three-time champion, plays well in October, does all the things right.
Won an MVP.
Watching Dodger fans,
does what his team asked and moves around.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever they like, whatever needs
very
to be
little
done.
To criticize.
Of course,
other than the normal guys go through slumps.
Yeah, I'm watching them cannibalize it. Well, you need to move him back to the outfield. This is a quote I saw. He's working too hard on his defense, and it's taking away from his offense. And I just go, you guys are the worst fan base in sports. It's not close. You're out of your minds. That's Mookie Betts again. Every team, for the most part, has probably, if you're lucky, you got three or four guys that you just don't work yourself into a tizzy over. When I look at the San Diego Padres, there are guys that I look at and I go, I'm not worried about him. He'll figure it out. If he hasn't already, he will get there. And if he doesn't, that's an outlier. If he has a really bad year, you know, Manny's one of those guys. Tatis is one of those guys. Hell, Jackson Merrill is one of those guys. Luis Arraez, I don't worry about them, Ben. Do they perform at 100% of capability every time? No, they don't, because that's what that sport breeds. I just don't worry about them too much. I worry that Elias Diaz isn't going to hit enough to start. I worry that, you know, Brandon Lockridge is not going to, you know, be a long-term solution in left field. I think those are viable concerns. I worry about Xander Bogaerts, to be honest. But I don't worry about some of those other guys. If I was a Dodger fan, you know who I wouldn't worry about? Mookie Betts. He may be number one for me. Freddie's got the ankle. You know, Shohei's really great, but is he going to hurt himself pitching? How's that going to work? Like, I'd be a little bit worried about that. His offensive production's through the roof. I wouldn't worry about Mookie Betts. So if I'm him looking at Twitter, I'm like, these guys, bunch of ingrates. That's how I'd feel.
I do have to remind myself that the criticism online and social media, at least I believe, still tends to be the minority. As loud as it is, and it's what you see.
It's just what you see.
The vast majority of the fan base, usually quiet. They may not be on social media at all. They're just watching the games. They're going to the games.
They're cheering. They're enjoying it.
Pretty positive and kind of worship the players and think they're amazing and awesome. And there's actually a lot you could take of that. If I was a player and, like, if I knew I had the support of tens of thousands of people that just want me to do well, you know, just enjoy watching me play and they want me to do well, I could take strength from that. But it also requires the mental fortitude to tune out the, you know, 10-15%, whatever it is, but the really loud and aggressive critics who you will get when you are in the public spotlight, certainly as a professional athlete, even to a lesser extent, the job that we do. We take it, you know, sometimes on social media, and I tend to also ignore it, but I see it. I don't not see the comments that are made online about
Yeah,
about
your hair plugs.
My hair plugs. Yeah. It's fine, whatever. I know what the truth is, and I'm comfortable with it. And, you know, Jackson Merrill, if you take positive, I mean, power of friendship's a great thing. That's a positive thing for the team. It's a positive way of framing what they have done early this season. If Jackson can take that and incorporate it into whatever his own thinking is about, you know, how the Padres want to play baseball, great. And if it comes from the fans or not, doesn't matter. That's a positive thing. So I thought it was interesting that that was the particular phrasing that he used after the game last night.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And again, there's guys on that team that definitely know what's being said. You know, I doubt any of them would listen to the show. I think if they did, they'd be, you know, generally pretty pleased. I bet Schilt doesn't listen. I you know, again, you don't want to read all that stuff. You don't, especially if you're going good. Honestly, either way, like if you're going really well, reading how great you are, I don't know, man. And I honestly, like, I wonder as it pertains to Fernando Tatis Jr., who did have a much better night last night. I'm telling you, man, I watched him uncork two throws, Ben. Didn't get an out on either of them, but my God, were they impressive. The one to third to Manny and the one to home, that the really speedy runner beat it out. Absolutely on the money, engaged, fired up, ready to go, still doing his thing. And Dennis wrote a piece about him.
In the Athletic. And I want to talk about it because he opened up, Fernando opened up a little bit about his recent struggles more than he has in the last couple of weeks. And we'll get to that after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So obviously, Fernando Tatis Jr. has been in a fairly major slump. By some metrics, probably one of the two worst slumps he's been in his career. Showed some signs of breaking it out of it last night with the home run and two hits. First two-hit game in a while. First home run in a while for Fernando Tatis Jr. After the game, though, he was definitely willing to be a little more forthcoming in a piece from our Padres Linsider from The Athletic, Dennis Lynn. He said Tatis is asked, "How of the recent skid, is it more mental or mechanical, do you believe?" And here's what Fernando said, quote, "Good combination of both. Obviously, you miss your pitches, and then pitches outside the strike zone get called strikes, and then you're trying to defend yourself. It was just a lot of stuff coming together, and what happens when you're going through a rough stretch. But you try to stay positive, try to figure it out, what's going on with you mechanically and mentally at the same time, because it's a really good combination of both." It is something to remember that, you know, we're just talking about dealing with fans and the media. All of these guys are human beings, and when a couple of things start snowballing, you know, in a bad direction, it is really hard to stop that momentum going in the wrong direction. You just start feeling like the calls are going against you. Okay, well, now I gotta protect. What does that mean? Well, there's a fine line between protecting and chasing. Like, I don't want to get called out on a strike that, you know, is an inch below the plate, so I better swing at that. But now you find yourself, now I'm swinging at pitches that are 2 or 3 inches below the plate because I've gotten out of the right headspace where I am. And it sounds like Fernando feels like just a bunch of things just started kind of piling up all at the same time, and it resulted in pretty bad slump from his perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we act every year. We cover baseball together for a long time, and we, along with the fan base, we all act every year like slumps are new. Like when they happen, we're like, "Oh, what is happening? This guy's not hitting." I mean, guys, this happens every single. This blew my mind. Did you know this? Jesse said it on the broadcast. Manny didn't hit his sixth home run till June 9th or 6th or something last year. Everyone's talking about Manny Machado's power slump and how it's fallen off the map, and I'm going, I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. What's wrong with Manny? Why isn't he driving the ball out of the ballpark? The exact same thing happened last year with recency bias is real.
So,
and ended up with 29 bombs.
When he was at 3 a week ago, that was very odd for Manny to be only at 3.
But again, just getting, if you get to June 6th and you have the same number, what was the difference in last season's first 2 months and this?
Manny's actually much hotter this season
than
he was last year.
Yeah. Did he space him out better? The 6 home runs that he hit from April 1st to June 6th last year.
I think
different?
I think we actually just last year knew Manny was coming off the elbow.
Yeah.
And
so you gave him a little bit of a reprieve.
And he was off to kind of a slow start, but we kind of just expected that and thought he'll heat up in the second half of the season, which he did.
He did. But why would you think a healthy Manny won't heat up in the second half of the season, which he's done pretty much his
entire career?
Well,
he can't heat up any more than he's already been really, really hot.
Right.
And the home runs weren't coming. I think that's almost spun fans out more than a struggling Manny not hitting home
runs. But again,
it's a hot Manny not hitting home runs that have people actually worried about him.
But again, like you look at Petco Park and where he plays and some of the balls that he's hit. I mean, the one he had last night, that ball's a home run in July. I mean, no question. No question about it. Like, I think the people that watch every day go, man, I'll take a guy batting, you know, 330 or 320 with an OPS over 1,000 in the month of May. If he hits some homers, that would be sick, and it's great when he does. But you also know when this guy gets going, you know, they come in bunches. So I'm not too worried about that. But again, to have the same numbers as you did last year, we act every year like this is some new phenomenon. Fernando slumping, Manny not having the hottest start power-wise.
I had the thought last night because you said it, and Jesse was going through the back of the baseball card. What do they say? Death, taxes, and 30 home runs for Manny Machado.
Yeah.
One of these years, it's not going to happen.
Sure.
He's not going to hit 30, but until it does, we really need to stop panicking about Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Every year. I mean, we'll go in next year. I thought, let's remember this next year. When Manny has, you know, 6 or 7 home runs in late May, let's not all go through this every single year.
Let's just
skip it next year and just know, you know, when Manny says the back of my baseball card, it's going to look pretty similar. That he's probably right, and we need to really chill out a little bit when it comes to Manny Machado, because as it heats up and, you know, he's already hot now, it does feel like he's definitely going to, if not get to his normal 30, might even be more at the end of the year, or if it's not, the overall numbers, the OPS with the doubles and everything might look better overall. Than it might be his end up being his best season with the San Diego Padres. And remember, he finished second or third in MVP voting a couple of years ago, and this is similar or better than that, the start
Michael,
that he's off to this year.
And Michael G says, you don't put any stock into Eno saying on this show he needs to pull the ball more. No, he does if he wants to hit more home runs. I mean, the ball he hit last night, had he pulled it, it's 50 rows.
Two of the three home runs that he hit in the last 5 days were pulled.
Yeah.
One of them was the other
way. Oppo. Yeah, so again, if he wants to... But again, I'll take the shots to right center gap. I'll take Manny, you know, being a good hitter and not just a power hitter. You know, because again, when this lineup is clicking and everyone's doing their job, as you saw last night, it can be a thing of beauty. He's not, I think he got, he didn't go on that K, did he?
Oh, on the check swing?
Did he go?
He got called out.
Did he get called out on the pitch?
On strikes. Yeah, it was about 2 inches outside.
Yeah, it was bad.
He didn't go, but it was a bad call by Quinn Walcott.
Again, another one.
Yeah, you should have lit him up for that one.
I did. That's interesting.
We've got an hour still to go here with Ben and Woods. More from... Oh, by the way. Yeah, Woods is spirit animal on the East Coast when it comes to
I found
Dodgers glazing.
This is great.
Found him. We got some audio for you coming up next here on The Fan.